Welcome to Listen To. This is Ted. The news was published on Monday, October 7th. Joining us today are Eric and Kate to discuss a fascinating topic in mental health research. Today we're discussing the potential use of psilocybin, the psychoactive ingredient in magic mushrooms, for treating clinical depression. Wisconsin is at the forefront of this research. What are your initial thoughts on this development?
Well, Ted, I've got to say, this is seriously exciting stuff. We're talking about a potential game changer in mental health treatment here. The clinical trials using psilocybin have shown some really promising results, especially for folks who've been struggling with treatment-resistant depression. It's like we're on the cusp of a breakthrough that could help millions.
I think we need to pump the brakes a bit here. Sure, it might seem
promising. Hold on, Kate. We can't ignore the potential this research has. These aren't just pie-in-the-sky ideas. We're talking about rigorous scientific studies that are showing real results. People who've been battling depression for years are finally seeing a glimmer of hope.
As I was saying, we need to be extremely cautious about promoting the use of illegal substances for medical purposes. There are significant risks involved that we can't just brush aside. We're talking about a powerful hallucinogenic drug here, not some harmless herb.
Let's take a step back for a moment. Can you explain what psilocybin is and how it's being studied?
Absolutely, Ted. Psilocybin is a naturally occurring compound found in certain species of mushrooms. When someone ingests it, it causes what we call trips, basically hallucinations that can last for several hours. Now, here's the kicker. Researchers are finding that these trips, when properly supervised, might actually help rewire the brain in ways that alleviate depression.
It's crucial to point out that psilocybin is still very much illegal at the federal level. Only a handful of research
labs. That's true, Kate, but you're missing a key point here. The FDA has actually granted psilocybin breakthrough therapy status. That's huge. It means they're fast-tracking the review process because they see real potential in this treatment for depression.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves, Eric. Need I remind you that the FDA recently rejected MDMA for PTSD treatment, despite its breakthrough therapy status? Just because something looks promising doesn't mean it's going to pan out.
How exactly is psilocybin being used in these clinical trials?
Great question, Ted. It's not just about popping a mushroom and hoping for the best. The treatment involves careful medical preparation, followed by what they call a dosing day where the patient takes psilocybin under the close supervision of a therapist. But it doesn't end there. There's also post-trip counseling to help patients make sense of their experience and integrate it into their ongoing treatment.
That sounds like a complex and potentially dangerous process. Are we sure it's safe? I mean, we're talking about inducing hallucinations in people who are already struggling with mental health issues.
Kate, I understand your concerns, but you're not giving enough credit to the researchers. These clinical trials are designed specifically to assess both safety and efficacy. The University of Wisconsin-Madison's Transdisciplinary Center for Research in Psychoactive Substances is conducting incredibly rigorous studies. They're not just throwing caution to the wind here.
But how can we be sure these studies are truly unbiased? It's difficult to blind participants who are experiencing such intense effects. When someone's tripping on mushrooms, they know they're not taking a placebo. That could seriously skew the results.
Let's put this research into historical context. Can you think of any similar events in the past where controversial substances were studied for medical use?
Absolutely, Ted. This reminds me a lot of the research into medical marijuana that kicked off in the 1990s and early 2000s. Despite its illegal status at the time, studies were showing potential benefits for pain management and other conditions. It was controversial, sure, but it opened the door to helping a lot of people who were suffering.
That's a fair comparison. But let's not forget the negative consequences of marijuana legalization. We've seen increased drug abuse, more impaired driving incidents.
Hold on a second, Kate. While those concerns are valid, you can't ignore the tremendous medical benefits for many patients. States like California led the way in legalizing medical marijuana, and it paved the path for broader acceptance and research. It's helped countless people manage chronic pain and improved quality of life for patients with various conditions.
And look where that's led us. A society where drug use is increasingly normalized and glorified. Is that really the direction we want to go with psychedelics too?
I have to strongly disagree with you there, Kate. It's led to better pain management for chronic pain sufferers and improved quality of life for many patients with various conditions. We're talking about helping people here, not promoting recreational drug use.
How does the current psilocybin research compare to early medical marijuana studies?
There are definitely similarities, Ted, particularly in terms of the initial skepticism and legal hurdles. But I'd say the psilocybin research seems more focused and controlled with specific applications for depression treatment. We're not talking about a broad spectrum of uses like with marijuana. This is zeroed in on helping people with treatment-resistant depression.
But aren't we repeating the same mistakes? We're opening a Pandora's box of potential drug abuse under the guise of medical research. It's a slippery slope.
Kate, that's an overly simplistic view. The psilocybin studies are being conducted in highly controlled environments with medical supervision. This isn't like the early days of medical marijuana. We're talking about carefully monitored professional settings. It's worlds apart from recreational use.
Still, we can't ignore the potential for misuse and the message this sends about drug use. Once it's out there, how do we control it?
The message it sends is that we're willing to explore all options to help people suffering from debilitating depression. It's about science, not recreation. We're talking about potentially helping millions of people who have run out of options. That's worth pursuing, even if it means challenging some preconceptions about these substances.
Looking ahead, what are two distinct ways this research could unfold? Eric, let's start with you.
Well, Ted, one potential outcome is that psilocybin-assisted therapy becomes an FDA-approved treatment for depression, revolutionizing mental health care. We're talking about a game changer here. Millions of patients who haven't responded to traditional treatments could finally find relief. It could be the breakthrough we've been waiting for in mental health treatment.
That's overly optimistic. A more likely scenario is that this research leads to increased recreational use and abuse of psychedelics, causing more harm than good. We could be opening the floodgates.
Kate, you're ignoring the potential benefits here. Even conservative estimates suggest over 2 million people could be eligible for this treatment. That's 2 million people who might finally find relief from debilitating depression. We can't just brush that aside because of unfounded fears.
And you're ignoring the risks, Eric. What about the potential for psychotic episodes or worsening of existing mental health conditions? We're playing with fire here, and I'm not sure we're prepared for the consequences.
That's precisely why the treatment would be carefully controlled and supervised by medical professionals. It's not about handing out mushrooms on street corners, Kate. We're talking about a structured, medically supervised treatment protocol. The risks are being carefully studied and mitigated.
But once it's approved, how long until it's misused or overprescribed, like we've seen with opioids? We've been down this road before, and it doesn't end well. We could be creating a whole new.
What about the economic and regulatory implications?
Great question, Ted. We could see a boom in mental health treatment centers specializing in psychedelic-assisted therapy. This could create jobs, improve access to care, and potentially reduce the overall burden of depression on our healthcare system. It's not just about the treatment itself, but the entire ecosystem of care that could develop around it.
Or we could see a strain on healthcare systems, increased insurance costs, and a regulatory nightmare trying to control these substances. Have you thought about how we're
Kate,
going to...
Kate, you're focusing on worst-case scenarios without considering the potential benefits. The fact is, states like Colorado and Oregon are already moving towards allowing supervised use of psilocybin. This isn't some far-off possibility. It's happening now, and we need to be prepared to do it right. Ooh.
And that's precisely the problem, Eric. We're rushing into this without fully understanding the long-term consequences. It's reckless and potentially dangerous.
On the contrary, Kate, we're carefully studying these substances in controlled settings to unlock their potential for helping millions of people with depression. This isn't a rush job. It's methodical scientific research that could change lives. We owe it to those suffering from depression to explore every possible avenue of treatment.
Well, it's clear this is a complex and controversial topic with passionate arguments on both sides. As research continues, we'll undoubtedly learn more about both the potential benefits and risks of psilocybin-assisted therapy. Thank you, Eric and Kate, for sharing your insights on this fascinating development in mental health treatment.